Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. I trust you've had a good week. We've been studying for several weeks now, several months, I guess, about the history of Israel and these kings and all of the ins and outs and all the trouble they got into. And I want us to get a little bit more personalized here now. A lot of military people here today. One thing we learned in the military, there's an authority over you. I don't care who, you go all the way up to the president and starting out as a private, everybody's got authority over you. But you learn something. You're responsible now to do what you're told to do. And of course, we're taught that from childhood, but it hits us like a ton of bricks when you get in the military. And they expect you to do what they're telling you to do. Well, now we have a supreme authority over us, the Lord God of heaven. He expects us to do what he tells us to do. You say, well, what does he want us to do? He outlines it for us here in the Word of God, in the Bible. Now, I want us to stop and think about it. One day, we're going to stand before him. He's going to call our name. And he said, now I want to give an account here of what you've been doing down here in this world. So turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 25. And we won't read the whole chapter, but we want to look at a good portion of it. And I just stop and think now. Now, we can get away with a lot of things. There's a lot of people in here, and something needs to be done. Well, somebody will do it. And it didn't make any difference where we are. We're always trying to do what those in authority over us tell us to do. But a lot of times they can't keep up with us. But there's somebody that can, and that is the Lord God of heaven. Matthew chapter 25. And let's start reading here now at verse 13. Now, this is for you. It's for me. I am going to stand before the God of heaven to give an account for what I've done down here in this world. You are going to stand before the God. That's just going to be him and you, him and me. It's not going to be a big crowd. He's not going to judge everybody at the same time. But you say, well, how in the world could he do that? Because he's God. And he's all-knowing. He knows the most innermost thoughts of our heart. Everything's going through our mind right now. He's aware of it. Everything that we've ever thought in our life, everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done, it's fixed in his mind, and he's going to call us to account. That's what we're going to look at here now this morning in Matthew chapter 25 here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your long-suffering with us, for your patience, for your love and your kindness that you've shown to us. Thank you, Lord, that you provided now the way our sins can be forgiven. And Lord, how that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. Now I pray that, Lord, as we're thinking back over the history of our country and the sacrifices that have been made down through the years by many, many people, I pray, Father, now that we might realize someday we're going to give an account to you. In Jesus' name we ask these things now. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, let's start reading verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, he's given us talents and abilities. The breath that we're breathing now, he gives it to us, okay? These hands, he's given them to us, this mind, this tongue. It all is a gift to us now, and he wants every part of us now to be used for his purposes. We're just, he wants us to be an extension now to the world of what he has to say to the world, all right? Kingdom of heaven, now verse 14, is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So he's delivered it to us now. And he said, well, what's he wants? He wants us to pass it on to somebody else. All right? Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his own several ability, and straightway took his journey. So we were created by God. He gave us the mind that we have. He gave us the body we've got. He gave us, everything that we are comes from Him. And He said, now, I've given all these things to you now, and I want to instruct you here now in the Word of God what to do with it. And He said, now, someday I'm coming back, and I'm going to call you into account. All right? Now, in verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. Now, a talent is a unit of a currency in those days. And it'd be like if somebody give you $100 and you go down and invest it in the stock market or something or another, and then you receive dividends back. Well, what does he want us to deliver then to other people? The gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he wants those that have the knowledge now of the gospel to pass it on to others. You don't have to go very far to find people that don't have a clue. You go over here in Johnson City, Kingsport, just right. There are people within a mile radius of this church right here that do not have the slightest idea about God or what's going to come. And he wants somebody to go tell him. All right? Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He's like an auditor coming into a bank. All right? Bring your books out. Now we're going to audit your books, see what's been going on here in this bank. Well, when he comes back, we'll get together, all of us. No, we're not going to get together, all of us. It's going to be one of us at a time. And we can't blame anything on somebody else. Well, you know, old so-and-so here, I couldn't get him to do what I wanted. It's not going to be like that. It's just going to be me and the Lord. And I have to give an account for my whole life. I said, well, how could he do that? Because he's God. Well, how at the time, there's no time there now. Time is gone, okay? It's just an eternal presence. He's not going to get in any hurry. And he doesn't have to get in a hurry because he's God. So he'll go over the whole account all the way down through the years. All right? Now, he comes in and he reckoneth with them. So he's going to go over our life now. Verse 20, he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained outside beside them five talents more. Now, talents, you knew the money, a currency in those days, like a dollar or whatever. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the ones that have been faithful now and obedient, I don't know what this the joy of the Lord will be here, but whatever it is, it's going to be good. We can't describe it because we don't have enough mind now to even imagine what this talent's going to be, what the joy of the Lord will be. Verse 22, he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou sowest not and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid to say anything about Jesus. I was afraid to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. I was just afraid, Lord. And wait, now he's going to pat us on. Well, that's all right. I understand. No, that's not. We're not going to get any pats on the head here. I was afraid now and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here's what you gave me, and I'm giving it back to you. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received money mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, this is not going to be a pleasant time if we have been living in disobedience to the Lord here. I mean, now, you know, you could always manipulate. It's easy to get around your mother. Mothers are tender-hearted, and a few tears would just break their heart. And, oh, that's all right. Listen. But father's not that way. And I'd start crying before my father really got into it because I knew what was coming. Judgment. Now, sometimes mothers would give judgment too, but most of the time it was father. When your father gets home, how many have ever heard that? When your father gets home, how many have ever heard that? A bunch of us have. And when he got home, sure enough, the judgment came. All right, now, in verse 30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So the Lord's going to be sitting on his throne now, and angels gathered around. And imagine if the Lord's throne's up here, and these holy angels gathered around that throne, and you're out in the parking lot, and he called your name. "Hey, Harry, it's your time." And we have to go open the door, and open those doors, and by the time we get out here, probably be crawling. And the Lord's sitting there on his throne. Now listen, we need to make preparations. We need to get ready for this because it's coming now. You can't get away from it. It's coming. In verse 32, "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye there, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." What's he talking about here? It's some poor person around here, some poor sinner around here somewhere. And the Lord wants one of us, wants somebody, wants a Christian, to go to that person, whoever it might be, whatever their situation might be. They might be in jail. They might be in a hospital somewhere. They might be in a nursing home. They might be just sitting at home, standing out, working out in their yard or something. And the Lord wants somebody to go to that person. I'd be afraid. None of these excuses now that we use now are going to work then. He has a specific person that he wants to go witness to that person, and we can't pass that on. In verse 36, "Naked and ye clothed me, I was sick and ye visited me, I was in prison and ye came unto me." See, and verse 37, "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" In verse 40, "Now the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now these are the lost people. Now we're here. And over here's our neighbor that we never did witness to. We never did go see him. We never did testify him. Never invited him to church. Never tried to take the Bible or anything. And we'll see that person. They'll see us. They might even, I don't know if this was it, but they might even say, "Why didn't you come tell me about this? Why didn't you ever say anything about it? I didn't know anything about this until now." I don't know if anybody could say I didn't know anything about it. And so he goes on and on. In verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So there is a judgment day coming. You remember in the military, they'd call us in there once in a while for a review or something or another. I had an old World War II Marine at Guadalcanal, and I somehow ended up in the Army. And he called me in one day about a certain man, and I said, well, and I started whining. I said, I don't know what to do. He said, I put those stripes on your arm. And he said, I can take them off. He said, now you get out there and do your responsibility and take care of this. Or he said, I'll deal with you. Now that's judgment. It really makes you sit up and take notice when they talk. I like those Marines now. They didn't pull any punches. Yeah, I put them on you. I'll take them off of you. Now get out of my office. And you pay attention to that. Well, it's going to be, now the Lord's not a Marine officer or anything like that. But you can see now, it's pretty plain here, these verses now. And Jesus said, now this is coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking these words. He said, now I'm going to go back to heaven and I'm going to leave you down here. Now, I've given you orders what to do. Now, you get on with it and get it done. Get on with it and get it done. And so we need to really take this time seriously now. Now, we've been studying for several weeks now the situation with the kingdoms there, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we saw these kings, the bad kings, and they didn't fulfill what the Lord wanted them to do. And every once in a while, there'd be a good king. We studied about Hezekiah. And the Bible said Hezekiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I've told this many times. Now, the Old Testament is 4,000 years of history. In 4,000 years now, it's only 18 times in 4,000 years that the Lord said of anybody, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. When I read that, I thought, what am I going to do? If only 18 men got that commendation there, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, where should I leave me? Where should I leave you? And then they come into my mind, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood shall wash away all our sins. Now that doesn't relieve us now of a responsibility that we have while we're here. Now, if we were ignorant and didn't have the Bible and didn't know anything about it, that's one thing. And a lot of people are ignorant about this. They've never read their Bibles. They don't know anything about it. But we can't use that as an excuse now because we know better. So the Lord wants us now to be faithful witnesses to Him, for Him, all the days of our life. Now let's look at our nation now. We just went through these election times here, and it'd be good if we build a big fence around Washington, D.C. and just hold them all inside that fence, but we can't do that. So they're going to have to give now at election time they give an account, but it doesn't always work out the way it should. 2 Kings chapter 18, turn over to that. They're in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, let's substitute Washington, D.C. now for Jerusalem here. And we had the two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The capital of the southern kingdom was Jerusalem, and the capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. And we've gone through in detail now for several weeks what happened to these different kingdoms and these different kings. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now this should be ergo, do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now really he's the only one that counts for a whole lot. Now we should do that which is right in the sight of our mate or husband or wife, as the case may be, or whatever. Children should do that which is right in the sight of their fathers and mothers and their teachers, and all those have authority over them. But we're to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto these days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Netushai, something made of copper. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like unto him, all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him and prospered him whithersoever he went. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So here's the situation now where this king was faithful to the Lord. And the Lord protected him. And the Lord gave him good success. And he turned the whole nation now from the way they were going back to the ways of the Lord. Back from evil to good. From doing wrong to doing right. Now that's what we need in our country. We need to turn from doing the wrong thing to doing the right thing. Now, President Trump, as President of the United States, we got the Congress and the Senate and so forth, and say, well, those are their authority over us. They are a certain way, but there is one greater than President Trump that has authority over him too. And he's going to give an account someday. The Lord's going to go over all of this. All those people in Congress and the Senate, they're going to give an account. All the people here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So how can the Lord do all that? Because he's God. Well, how would he find that time will be no more? See, time is based on the revolution of the sun around the earth and day and night and all like that, but that's not going to be like that. In fact, the Bible's time shall be no more. So don't worry about how will he have time to do all this, because he'll have plenty of time to do it. All right, so the Lord was with Hezekiah now, and he prospered whithersoever he went. And the Lord delivered them now out of the hands of their enemies. Now, we got enemies overseas in all these nations. I mean, the whole world's enemy of the United States, just about. We got enemies here at home, enemies here in East Tennessee and so forth. The only protection we have now is the protection that the Lord gives us. And so we had this generation here now under Hezekiah. Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord. He followed what the Lord wanted him to do. He was obedient to the Lord, and the Lord protected the nation and took care of them. And then we know the next one, Manasseh. Now, the Bible says Hezekiah was the best king they ever had. Best king Israel ever had. And then his son Manasseh. What does it say about Manasseh? Now, somebody, what did the Lord say about Manasseh? Give me a volunteer here now. Worst king Israel ever had. He went from the best to the worst. Worst one they ever had. And we've gone through burning those little babies alive. Now, they built the altar made out of bronze and had the idol there with its arms stretched out like this. And the chest and belly was open and built up a raging fire inside of that thing and heated the whole thing up. And mothers would bring their little babies, their little children up and lay them in those bronze arms there and let their children burn alive as a sacrifice. Can you imagine how a mother could possibly do that? Well, what's going on with them today? They go into these abortion clinics, and these butchers just tear that little baby out of their womb and throw it in the trash, and the mother gets up and goes out and does it again. So people, now you see, there's horrible people back in those days. There are people in this world today. What's the answer to it? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. When people get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in their heart, they won't do things like that. And so we went through Manasseh now. He reigned a long time there, his worst king Israel ever had. And he come to a bad end. He was carried away captive now into a foreign nation. And when he got there, what happened to it? Now just think about this. This is the worst king Israel ever had. But when he got taken slavery or into slavery or taken captivity to that foreign country, he turned to the Lord. And you know what? The Lord washed away all of those sins. After the Lord finished, Manasseh was just as innocent and pure as a newborn baby. How could he do that? Because he's God. Well, what happened? Those sins ended up with Jesus there at the cross. Jesus was dying for those sins. This is hard to imagine. I mean, this goes beyond any human understanding. Jesus took my sins upon himself. He died there on that cross in my place. When we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry about my sins. I repent of them. Lord, forgive me. Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. Then all of those sins are transferred from the individual to Christ. And when he died on that cross, now, the Bible is very clear about he was dying for the sins of the world. So God he's revealed all this to us now in the Bible, and we need to take it into consideration now in our daily lives here. So anyway, Manasseh got to this foreign country, and he repented, and the Lord forgave his sins. In the meantime, he died, and he had a son, Amnon. And Amnon was worse than his father was. He was a very horrible, depraved individual there. And he everything that had been accomplished, now he closed the door on it and turned it back, turned the nation back after these idols and all of this immorality and all the vulgarity and the abortions and the drunkenness and the drug addiction and the lying and the cheating and everything that goes on in our country today. And then the next king was Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22, I'll read a few verses there. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Barzillai. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, this is a wonderful thing here now. We go from a good king, Hezekiah, to horrible king, Manasseh. And then the next, Amnon, his son, was worse than his father was. And then Josiah comes along. He's 8 years old now. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he turned the nation back to God. All right, now time's getting away from us here. I want us to think for a little bit. I got a lot more notes here. Is there any way that we can relate the Lord's dealings now with these nations, with our nation today? Well, there's a direct relationship there. When all these things were taking place in Judah, what were the average citizens now thinking about when they saw all of this immorality and all this violence and vulgarity and depravity and all the things were going on there in Jerusalem and in around in the countryside? Then the misery hit. The Lord let these other nations come in and destroy their armies and take over their countries. And when Jesus was walking here on earth, the Romans ruled Jerusalem and ruled Israel. And the Jews, they had no authority. They had just whatever the Romans wanted to do. That's what they did. The leaders and the people of the United States make any connection now between their behavior and the State of the Union. January 20th, we have a State of the Union address, and the president tells us how good we are and how good we're doing and how much greater we're doing in the future. They don't really give us a State of the Union, do they? They don't say anything about the abortions or about the depravity or about the murders and all the violence that's going on in the land. There's a disconnect now between the behavior of our leaders and the reality of things. The majority have no notion now that the Lord is directly involved in reaction now to our behavior. If we live in disobedience and in rebellion against Him, He will give us a government now that will suffer under that government. Just like with Manasseh now, burning those little babies alive. all the depravity now. It's incomprehensible that a mother would bring that little baby and lay him in the arms of that idol and let the baby burn to death. What happened there? Well, the depravity. See, human nature, that's human nature. Well, what keeps us from acting that way? The Lord does. Now, these abortion doctors and the people, the women that come in for these abortions and the politicians, well, what was one of the big issues in the election? Abortion. They were afraid, well, if we get Christian people elected, if our judges and our congressional leaders and our president, if they were actually Christians, they'd stop all that abortion stuff. They'd stop all the importing all this drugs and stuff in here. And all the violence and wickedness that's going on in our country. We could sum it up here now in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. Our nation is about 250 years old. That's a long time, isn't it? Yeah, it is a pretty long time compared to, you know, our lifetimes. From the time of Abraham until the Romans took over control there now was about 1,500 years. The Lord suffered with them now for 1,500 years. And they go through these valleys of depravity and wickedness and immorality. And then the Lord sent a king or somebody, and he sent one of these prophets, Isaiah or somebody like that, and they raise her back up again. But then it's just going in cycles. And every cycle they go a little deeper. How long can our nation now survive before the Lord slams the door shut? See, he gave Israel 1,500 years. Now, we're 250 years old. I don't think that we want to have 1,500 years. There's several factors now that are a lot different now than they were back then. The nations that surround the United States are not friendly towards us, and our only protection that we have now is the Lord. We say, well, we've got the armed forces. I know, but if the Lord's not with the armed forces, they're not going to be successful. If we're not pursuing now righteousness that sets forth here in the Bible, then we can't expect any help from the Lord. We're just on our own. And being on our own is a pretty bad situation to be in. Now, if we're on the Lord's side, then there's some hope for us. But if we're on Satan's side, there's no help. And Satan, he's behind all of this wickedness and stuff that's going on. So how long have we got? I don't know. Only the Lord knows. But it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Just go back over our lifetime. I was going through Jonesboro yesterday, driving through there. We went to see Darlene there. She's in a nursing home there in Jonesboro. And as we were driving back through that little old town there, it's a pretty nice little town. I thought, you know, they're wanting to bring alcohol into this place. And they want to have these beer joints and liquor stores and everything all up and down. Jonesboro only got one street. And there's a lot of activities and things going on there. But I was thinking, and I mentioned it to Brenda, if these politicians have their way now, I've walked down the street in New York City many times and had to walk around pools of blood. What was going on? People just acting like animals. I mean, there was a man come down the street one time, and he had a straight razor in his hand, and he's just swinging it back and forth. And I got Brenda, and we went the other direction. Now, would that happen in Jonesboro? It's heading that direction. If these politicians that are running the governments here now in Sullivan and Washington County, if they have their way, it's going to end up here. See? So we desperately need to turn to the Lord God. We desperately need to get back in His Word. And the Bible says, order my steps in Thy Word, that I might not sin against thee. So the Lord, now he's given us a history here now. And everything has a cause and effect. And he said, now, if you do right, start from Genesis all the way through Revelation, you do right, and I'll bless you. I'll protect you. I'll give you peace. I'll bless your children. I'll take care of you. If you do wrong, I'm going to turn you over now to these wicked people. We don't need to look for monsters from outer space to come in here now. They're living here among us. The only thing restrains them now is the Lord. And so, folks, we need to really start praying and get really serious about this. And one of the disciples said about Jesus, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just whatever he says, do it. And everything will work out all right for us. But if we say, well, I figure this thing out for myself, I've got a good mind and I can reason and I can graduate from elementary school. I get through all this. No, we can't. We can't survive as a nation, as individuals, if when we depart from the word of the Lord, we end up like these other nations. The Lord finally just slammed the door on Israel and said, that's it, no more. And you say, well, could that happen in the United States? Go back through history, nation after nation. Now, the nations that existed in Jesus' day, they're no longer in existence. And most of these nations in the world today, now these countries go way back, but most of the governments and forms of governmental control and so forth are fairly recent within our lifetime. So this is really, really, really serious. The Lord will turn us over now to our enemies if we continue to ignore him and just do whatever we feel like doing. But if we follow him now, and we've talked before now, old Sennacherib, he was one of the main leaders in the world. I mean, he was like Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler or somebody like that. And he said to him, to Hezekiah, he said, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to mop up on you. And I'm translating here into Tennessee vernacular. I'm going to mop up on you people. Now you better bow down and worship me. I've got my armies here now and we're ready to lower the boom on you. And what happened? The Lord sent an angel in there one night. And one night killed 185,000 of them. And old Sennacherib, he had to pack up and get out of there. And he went back home. When he got back home, people up there thought, where'd this nut come from anyhow? He's messed us up here big time. And they killed him. His two sons killed him. So those that set themselves against the Lord now, they're going to come to a bad end. Well, our time's got away from us. I hope now that we'll start thinking about this and start praying about it. Lord, lead us and guide us and give us, Lord, a spirit of obedience and acceptance now of thy word. That we can help others now to turn from this path of wickedness into the path of righteousness. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray now for your blessings, your guidance, your direction. Bless Brother Jenkins now to be preaching to us in a little while here. And bless all of the friends and visitors now that we have today. And may they, Lord, learn things now and enjoy the time that they've been here at Buffalo Ridge. And above all, Lord, I pray now if there are any here now that do not know you as their Savior, that they might come to today to receive you now. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all the veterans go outside immediately here. We've run over here a few minutes.